Beaming live on a radio rope from a world near you, it's CKNW, our radio station, servicing the city of Adobe Skyscraper, the surrounding Adobega County, and if weather permits, even further than that. Join us this week for an episode of this evening's show, originally aired September 27th, 1978, where John, Charlie, and Louie take a monorail all the way to Monorail City. Visit the botanical garden and the treetop restaurant, The Green Bottle. Learn how colors are made, the music of plants, and what happens when you can't pay your tab. Once again, loyal citizens of the airwaves, and welcome to a special edition of this evening's show. This is your radio captain speaking, John Starboard, and sitting to my right, in an uncomfortable-looking bench situation, is the Prince of Pandemonium himself, Louie Mastodon.
Hey, hey.
Yes, and of course, to my left is the Maven of Mayhem, Charlie Dust.
Hey, if you're wondering why tonight's show is so special, just open your ears. Shh. There, you know what that sound is? It's the sound of a sleek, silver, traveling tube. Because we're not in the CKNWR studio at all tonight. We're in car number B2 of the Yellow Line monorail headed towards Monorail City.
Which is so far away from Adobe Skyscraper that I'm having a really hard time figuring out why you didn't spring for the luxury sleeper car, John. We're stuck on these rock-hard benches for the next 7 hours.
These seats are really hard. My bottom hurts.
Okay, true. I know this, but we had to cut some corners on this trip to stay within budget.
Because of that million-foot microphone cable you bought.
Yeah, it was only 1,000 feet, but yes, it was not cheap.
Well, what a load of crocodile garbage that you shove up into a
beer. Okay. Now, before you get into too much of a twist about this, Louie, remember, we're using those self-same mic cables tonight to make this show.
Yeah, I know. We had to figure out how to get that wheelbarrow full of cable into the monorail. You had to get a ticket master to pull the doors off the hinges, and then you had to buy an extra train ticket for the wheelbarrow because it's taking up a whole bench.
Yeah, well, at least the cable didn't get tangled.
That would have been bad luck.
That's right. Bad luck. But that's neither here nor there. What is here and now, and what we're very excited to announce, is that today Charlie Dust will be going on a very special investigative journalism mission to the Dining District of the West, Monorail City. So, why don't you tell us a little bit about your plans, Charlie?
Well, I'm very pleased to say that I'll be investigative journaling one of the most recognizable faces in food journalism, Colette Zeolio. And not only that, but we're meeting at one of the fanciest restaurants in the city, the Green Bottle. And when I say fancy, I mean very, very fancy.
Well, I've heard you can only get there by hot air balloon.
Yeah, that's because it's in the canopy of a tree.
Wait, like a tree house?
Like a house in a tree, yeah, but a house of feasting and dining and tasting. Actually, the Green Bottle unfolds like a serpent through the canopy of several gigantic trees above the Hendrick Orchard's botanical garden. In fact, it's just one of many 12-star treehouse restaurants in the area. You know, it's become quite the gastronomical destination for the rich and famous.
Well, why do you have to get a balloon to get there? Doesn't the monorail go all the way to the dining district?
Yeah, I know the Yellow Line ends at the botanical gardens, and there's hot air balloons there that take you the rest of the way. I'm not exactly sure where you're supposed to catch the balloons. Did you ever figure that out, Charlie?
The brochure didn't say anything about that. So, I mean, the map showed, like, some red circles at the back near the water spout, but I'm not sure what the waiting area was or what. I figure we can just look at the flowers and cacti in the meantime and keep an eye out for them. Balloons are big and bright and yellow and, you know, colorful, like crayons.
Hey, Charlie, are you excited for your big interview?
Yeah, I'm excited about the balloon.
As we all are, Charlie, as we all are. Well, superfans, we're going to sign off and catch back up with you whenever we finally get off the monorail. Until then, we'll leave you in the capable hands of Deepak Halliday, who's back at the studio. Deepak, why don't you play us something festive?
Hey, one step ahead of you, John. Next up, we have Mario Iguana with the first track of his eponymous album, Peaceable Communion.
Okay, listeners, now we've just paid entry to the Botanical Gardens here, and Charlie has made his way over to the hot air balloon line. Seems like they have to take some of his blood first, just in case he falls out and perishes.
That way they can identify the body later.
Yeah. Wonders of the modern world, huh?
Seriously, used to you had to take your tooth out, but now a few ounces of blood and you're good to go.
Yeah. Now, for all of you listening at home, we're walking through a canopy of green and yellow and red. Really, all conceivable colors are around us and over us, and I can see little placards saying Elephant Tusk or Gaylord Pegunias or Here's a Wall of Elk's Eyes. Lots of plants, lots of flowers.
And a few people.
All right. Let's interview some of these folks. Hi, sir. Hi. Is this your first time to the gardens? Okay, so apparently this guy is hallucinating.
Wasn't he just speaking Octavian there?
Yeah, but he said, I ate a red flower and now I'm trying to find my skeleton.
Ask him which red flower.
here's someone. Hi, sir? Hi. Is this your first trip to the gardens?
No, second.
Oh, so you enjoyed it so much that you came back?
No, well, it's fine. You know, I just lost my...
Skeleton?
What? Where?
Ah! Never mind. Let's see. For those of you listening at home or the office, like I said, there are also birds around us. There's a few trees, flowers, like I said.
And a naked, skinless man with no muscles or nerves.
No. There are no skeletons here. Wait, did you eat some flowers?
Well, several, but no, there aren't really any skeletons here. I was just trying to make this more interesting for the listener. There are just flowers, lots of exciting, amazing, beautiful, incredibly non-hallucinogenic flowers.
Yes, aren't they lovely? And all the spectrum of the world can be squeezed out of them. I love it.
Oh, hi. Hi, are you a regular visitor?
I shop here, yes.
Sorry, what? We're broadcasting a radio show and we're just trying to get people's opinions of the botanical gardens. What's your name?
Well, I'm Dr. Nelda Zimmerman, a botanist for Zoo-Astra. You know, the big chemical conglomerate.
We make the things that things are made of.
Right. Well, I'm in the dye and the cosmetic dye department, and like I said, I come into the garden every few days to shop for new flowers. You see, I can combine the organic extracts from flower petals, or their reproductive organs anyway, to make all kinds of dyes. Some dyes are for humans, you know, hair, and eyebrows, skin, and teeth. And some dyes are for inanimate things like furniture and clothes and tractors and pets and...
So, you just squeeze a red flower into a paint pan and you get red paint?
Essentially, no. No, we must combine the extracts, which we must extract with a... Well, we call it a stay-safe polymer. And then we heat it up to high temperatures. Well, really, I can't go into too much more detail because of trade secrets and all, but in the end, rest assured, we just squeeze flowers and out come the colors.
So you said you shop here? Are you allowed to take the flowers?
Well, you're not supposed to pick flowers, but I'm a botanist, so I have a little more wiggle room. My, I just noticed your hair. Oh, my goodness, is that turtle shell brown? I'd know it anywhere.
My hair? It's brown.
You don't dye it? Oh, I would have sworn it was our turtle shell mix. Well, you see, my hair is a shade of yellow called Edgar's Sunset. It is a combination of canary yellow, which we get that from dandelions, wax geraniums, and sulfur roses. That and corn silk, which comes from corn, and goldenrod, which comes from yellowrod flowers. Get it?
Yeah, that's cool.
Do you like it?
Sure. So you said you can make every color. Aren't there infinite colors?
They tell you that in sixth grade because, well, the actual number of colors is too high for a sixth grader to understand. There are so many we can make. If you mix all the colors of the flowers and all the different ratios together all at once, do you know what color you get?
Mud.
No, but close. It's called rusty thumb. It's like a blackish, invisible brown.
Right. Hey, let's check in with Charlie on the walkie-talkie. I think he should be up at the green bottle by now.
Oh, I love it up there. They have some very beautiful white azaleas. Good for making ink and pastel line of colors I like so much.
Hey, Charlie, how's it going?
I didn't fall out of the balloon, though I was really, really... I'm really lightheaded from the... They took a lot of blood.
Charlie, hello. What color is your hair?
Louis? Wow, I'm feeling really weird.
No, silly, this is Dr. Zimmerman, our botanist. Your hair?
My hair? Black?
Oh.
Charlie, are you at the restaurant yet?
Oh, no. They let me off at a landing dock, and there's just lots of wooded pathways leading every which way. I'm pretty lost.
Charlie, I can tell you right away where to go. You see that walkway that goes into the center of the trees? It's labeled by a sign. It says, Skywalk B.
I see.
Take it. And are you sure your hair isn't more of a raven's navel?
I don't see a raven's navel. Am I lost?
Keep going. I love your hair.
Yeah, Charlie, we've learned a lot about flowers and hues down here. How was the balloon ride?
I think okay. I threw up.
Charlie, you're about to eat a huge dinner. Don't complain.
Oh, okay. I think I'm at the end of the sidewalk. The skywalk.
Oh, Charlie, do you see a big row of potted plants? They look like hands. One of them should be giving you that old familiar suggestion.
Oh, yeah, I guess so.
Wonderful. I love it. I think that is so clever. Charlie, go around that bunch of plants, and on the other side will be a wall of vines. The green bottle is just through that wall. Oh, I'm so jealous of you. Say, take the flowers from the table when you leave, would you, honey? For me, okay? Love you.
Oh, okay. I'm going that way, then.
Right, let's take it back to the studio for a song break. Deepak?
Right, I'm just here at the studio with my mane of Sir Walter Raleigh auburn hair, and I'm going to spin up a track for you called Birds of Amira. Take it away, machine. Thank you.
Charlie Dust here. I finally found my way to the green bottle, and I'm sitting here with Mr. Colette D'Azolio himself, famed food critic.
Hello, thank you, Charlie. Thank you for showing me on your radio.
Sure, sure. So this is quite a spread we have in front of us. What can you tell me about the kinds of dishes we're going to try tonight? I can see a pretty strong poultry theme going on.
That's right, Charlie. The green bottle is a specialty in exotica birds.
Like peacocks?
Peacocks, yes, and toucan, swan, so on. As they say, birds are gods of plants.
I see. So what's this bright-looking dish over here?
Ah, this is a very rare bird. Blue-breasted moon heron, steamed, burnished with a raisin compote, rinsed in a river, cool to the touch, and laying tenderly upon a platter.
I've never seen a bird prepared like that. The beak is...
Yes, the beak is a beautiful shape.
And they don't remove the feathers before serving?
No. It enhances the effect of the dish, you know? The colors of the bird are the lights of heaven and earth, and they address the sweetness and the spice like lovers in a courtroom, you know?
I think I see, but keeping the feathers and the beak on make it seem, I don't know, not cooked or something.
No. It is done quite perfectly, as you can see. Limp, like a noodle. Mm.
Yeah.
Oh, delicious. Bon appetit.
Now tell me about that strange-looking dish over there.
This is a quail egg stew with a wine raisin compote.
Sorry, not that one. The one next to that.
Oh, yes. Here we have a drowned grackle souffle with a radish spinach noodle.
The plate right there, right in front of the soup.
Oh, this is a bit of bread I was eating.
Okay, not the bread. It's right next to your elbow. Has the red sauce drizzled on the top, has some vegetables on the side, the leaf on top.
Could you point to it?
It's here. It's right here. Can you see my finger? It's touching the plate. This?
I don't know. I see the soup, but...
This?
Oh, that! This is a minor bird tort on a bed of alfalfa grass, smothered with a donkey blood au jus and garnished with a pine tree couscous.
Amazing. So I was also curious about the waiters here. They all seem to be really tall. Why is that?
Yes. It is a monkey who served the cuisine here. Gorilla, chimpanzee, a monkey. Take a look. Waiter!
Oh, weird. It's so dark in here, I couldn't tell they were monkeys. They're all wearing white dinner jackets, so I guess they just must be pretty smart. Do you have to write down your order for them, or what?
Yes, you just point at the menu. Waiter, my friend Charlie and I will have two cafes.
Wow, that one was huge. Do they ever hurt anyone? Flip over a table or swing from a chandelier or anything like that?
Oh, sometimes, yes, but only rarely, maybe once, maybe twice a month.
Seems like a lot.
Well, no.
Really? Customers get attacked once or twice a month.
This is strange to you?
Well, yeah, I'd say pretty strange. If the apes are smashing tables every other week, I would think...
Oh, so now we should just eat the monkey?
No, just... I don't know, just... I don't know if they should be serving customers. It's pretty scary.
Well, yes, but if the monkeys do not work, who would wait on the tables then?
I don't know. Grad students or, I guess, just people in general? I just don't understand why you don't have regular people serving the food here.
Well, everyone knows that monkeys do not eat a bird.
Really? I don't guess I've heard that before, but...
So... The monkeys will not eat a food when they bring it out, you see?
I don't follow.
Don't be stupid. Since monkeys do not like the taste of bird, they do not eat the food. It is simply too delicious for a human being to deliver without eating themselves.
Okay. Deepak, can we get some dining music?
Yes, sir. Here's a good one. It's a dining song. It's called A Detour of Exploration. Okay, listen carefully. It sounds like getting lost, only better.
Along with Louis Mastodon, I'm John Starbird, and we're still here at the Botanical Gardens.
There are still flowers here, and plants, and now a pianist.
That's right. The piano music you hear, strangely, is coming from the Botanical Garden. A fellow with a white wig, I think, is playing some sort of piano near a group of zebra pansies. Let's go say, excuse me. Excuse me, sir. Hi, can we interview you for the radio? It's this evening's show.
Yes, indeed. Let me stop playing.
Okay, almost done. There. Wait. Okay, that. Now. Hello.
Hi, we just noticed you playing the piano for the guests here, and...
No, I was not playing for the guests. You might think that, but you are a guest. No, I was playing for the flowers, for the plants. You may notice that I was not using a Western scale, a scale that guests would like.
Sorry, for the plants?
Yes. Plants are deserving of beautiful music. They do not complain. They only bring beauty and color into the world. They do not hiss. They only sway gently and quietly in the breeze. And they do not call my compositions, quote, 25 jigsaw puzzles of cats with half the pieces missing or soggy or bloated, mashed together to form a horrific cacophony of pretentious idiocy, end quote. They just say nothing and enjoy the music.
Well, do they really?
The lilacs especially love to hear the sound of my portable baby grand, especially on a night with a new moon. Then, in their loneliness, away from the lunar light, they find comfort in my playing. I do it for their love. I do it for tips.
Well, that's impressive. Now, what's your name, sir?
Murphy Bonaventure. See?
Murphy Bono... what?
Yeah, I see that's monogrammed on your jacket. That's nice. And you said your piano here is portable?
It is made of, well, it is mostly cardboard, but the sounding board is masonite, but 50% maple. See? Listen.
Ah, Sagan scale. Nice.
But the plants prefer music composed in the Murphy scale, or else one of the Bonaventure modes. See? Listen.
Sounds like plant music, yeah.
Very interesting. So, do you play music here often?
I play music here solely. Where else would they appreciate it more?
Good point.
No, seriously, do you know of any place they might like this sort of stuff?
Oh, well, there was a puzzle jazz club up above Adobe Skyscraper called King Tut's, and they showed a lot of puzzle jazz and avant-garde kind of crap.
I don't play puzzle jazz.
Yeah, well, King Tut's got burned down anyhow.
Oh.
Well, we're actually here from Adobe Skyscraper so that our friend Charlie can eat dinner at the Green Bottle and let us know what it's like.
I love that place. Terrible, wonderful fish eggs.
Oh, yeah, have you been there?
No, sadly, on my wages, I cannot afford to eat there. But I do love to watch the dining room spin above me in the trees as I play. See, now that it's getting to be the dusk hour, you can see the spinning of the dining room, like a giant floating saucer or a smashed, flat, glittering, glowing beach ball. See?
I see that. That's very impressive. Now, for those of you listening on the train or at home, the dining room of the Green Bottle is lit up and is spinning slowly.
Yes, it is. It allows the patrons to see all the garden as they dine. I just gaze at it and get inspired. I think the plants get inspired, too. Ever notice how they grow?
No.
They grow up, upwards towards a saucer dining room, and the moon.
And the sun.
I don't know. All I know is this.
Okay, very nice.
Hi?
Oh, hello, Charlie. How goes it?
I'm done with eating. Do you guys want to have a nightcap drink? They are complimentary, so we could split one?
Sure thing, though I don't suppose we can catch a hot air balloon this late in the day.
Hey, I can fly you up there in my Zeppelin bike, if you buy me a drink.
Well, how many people can fit on this Zeppelin bike?
As many as are willing to buy me a drink, except it can only safely lift up about 4.
Okay, that's fine, but Zeppelin bike sounds dangerous. Kind of sounds illegal.
No, not really. I mean, yes.
Your hair is perfect.
Yes, I got it dyed just this morning.
Oh, yeah, this is Nelda. She's a botanist here.
We'll fix up your hair real nice.
Right. Hey, let's have a song, Deepak.
You got it, good buddy. Here's a good drink to try from the Hog's Nose.
Oh, listeners, here come my friends. Hey, over here.
Oh, hi, here's Charlie. He's just sitting alone at the table here.
Yeah, the food critic Colette, he left a while ago. I had to go somewhere.
Oh, okay. Well, these folks joined us from the garden. Of course, you know Nelda, and this is Murphy.
Hi, Charlie. It's good to see you in the flesh.
Hi.
Your hair is perfect.
Hello.
Hi.
Buy me a drink?
You'll check, sir.
You're not a monkey.
No, sir, I'm not a monkey. I'm a human. Your check, sir.
Oh, my friend will pay for that.
Your check, sir.
Oh, not me.
Your check, sir.
I'm not your friend, Charlie.
Sorry, the guy I'm talking about isn't here right now. He went to do something.
This is inconvenient for me, sir. It is very convenient for you.
No, I mean it. He'll be back. It's Mr. Ozolio. He's a food critic. You should know him.
Ozolio, sir?
Yeah, he just stepped away from the table.
I do not understand, sir.
He critiques food by eating it, and then he writes it down in a magazine or something.
We do not sell magazines, sir. Would you like to pay the check, sir?
No, I mean, I can't. Ozolio is paying it. We're just here as guests.
All of you, sir. This is a large group for a table of two. There is a $90 fee for splitting a platter between two people. It is more for five people, sir.
But Ozolio was here. I'm serious.
Excuse me, sir. For six people, sir?
Look, he's got a plastic beret, he's got a goggly eye, a penciled-in mustache, a food critic button.
Sir? Like the man behind the plants over there, sir?
Oh, yeah, that's him. You know him, Ozolio.
No, I do not know him, sir. I know a Miss Colette Ozolio, who is on vacation to the Novice Coast, and he cannot be she. Would you like to pay the check, sir? Or would you like me to send a waiter to mangle you,
no,
sir?
No, no, no. I'll pay.
That's a pretty heavy price tag there, Charlie. Can you pay that?
If he cannot, he can always help to undress the waitstaff and clean the kitchen floors.
I guess I'll do that.
Very well, sir. You will want to wear this leather throat guard and these mesh gloves. Would your friends care to join you, sir?
No, we're going now.
Sorry, guys.
Well, how was the food?
The food was good.
Excuse me, but it looks like your dining companion is running away.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we've got to go catch the last monorail back home. Listeners, maybe Charlie will tell us all about his experience paying off his dining debt next week.
Don't worry, Charlie. You can stay with me. We'll fix up your hair real nice. Maybe dye your chin, too.
Okay.
Let's take it back to Deepak. Deepak, give us a knife send-off, yeah?
All right, folks. Sounds like Charlie could use some good news, right? So, here's a song.
We're back on the monorail, and it's the end of the show. So, for now, so long from somewhere in wonderful land.
Yeah, and keep a hold of your skeletons, if you can.
It's this evening's show. Don't get too excited though. It's this evening's show.